Your Bibles to the 23rd Psalm, perhaps the most famous piece of literature ever written in the history of Western civilization. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Is there children's church this morning? Okay.
Yeah, just due to the illnesses, there was no kids' church, which is fine. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Kids are a blessing, never a burden. And saying that doesn't mean parenting's easy or whatever, you know. Of course, it takes work, but kids are not a burden. So days like this, I rejoice. I truly mean that. Also, I did one thing that I normally don't do, is I sent an email out about 20 minutes ago and said, hey, if you're sick, here's a live stream. That is against my impulse, because I don't believe in church at home. There is no church in the living room, period, hard stop. But if this is a way to serve people who are in the living room right now sick, I hope it does. So if you're at home watching, I pray that this blesses you this morning as we look at Psalm 23. And as Dean said, this might be one of the most beloved passages in the entire Bible. Before I pray and get into Psalm 23, I want to read from a devotional book called In the Lord I Take Refuge by Dane Ortlund. Just relax and listen to these words. It's about a two-minute read, but he just encapsulates Psalm 23 in such a intelligent, smart, and honest way. I think I did put that on the screen behind me. He says, this is perhaps the most famous poem in the history of the world. And that is quite a statement. A lot has been written in the history of the world. And justly so. It is deep consolation for the people of God. And I agree with that statement. This psalm tells us that life with God means that we have no lack, verse 1. A life walking with him is like green pastures and still waters. But notice that David does not claim this about God when life is easy. This is how God cares for us when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. How can this be, Ortlund asks? How can life be green pastures and still waters and the enveloping fog of deep fears or bitter disappointment, or may I add, sickness? And a sadness that refuses to lift, a habitual sin in which you feel trapped, a rejection by one you loved, or a deep sense that you keep disappointing God. The psalm tells us, you are with me. Would you rather have the mountaintop experience without God or the dark valley with him? How does the presence of God actually help me when I'm in the darkness? In this way, we know that Jesus Christ walked through the ultimate valley of the shadow of death, the darkness of condemnation and hell, a fate that should have landed on us. The result is that in our temporary dark valleys, we can know that despite our sin and failure, God brings us in full moral integrity to be with him forever, where we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, where all the mess and darkness of our little lives will be found to have worked backward to make us more replacent and happy than we otherwise could have been. I just found that really moving. So I wanted to lead out with that. And now I'm going to pray and we'll look in more detail at this. Frankly, when I was, Lord just saved me, it was this psalm that soothed me time and time and time again as I walked through many valleys, dark valleys, and I pray that it is a balm to your soul this morning. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is going to go forth and your spirit can use this for those who are currently in the valley where it is indeed dark. Would you meet them? Before me are your sons and daughters, O God. And life is not easy. We all know that. But you are with us. So be with your sons and daughters this morning. May they trust you this morning, regardless of where they're at. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. When I was in college, I started to attend a campus ministry at the University of Minnesota. This particular campus ministry, they just have your classic worship message, and then basically we just mingle for a while and talk. Well, this speaker gave a message about Israel wandering through the wilderness when God led them out of Egypt in slavery. This particular individual showed me much of the movement of God's people in the Old Testament that takes place in the wilderness, which is frequently a desert or very arid land. But she showed me God is at work. After the meeting, I pulled the speaker aside and explained the confusion that I was experiencing in my life at that moment. I tried to follow the Lord, but felt I was just living aimlessly. Like, where was I headed? The speaker heard me out and said, "Perhaps you are wandering through the wilderness just like the Israelites." I hated her answer. I was so put off. I'm like, "Just could you tell me how to apply? Like, just don't tell me where I'm at. Could you just help me apply what you're talking about?" But since that moment, I have appreciated what was being communicated. Life is hard. And sometimes it feels like you are wandering in the wilderness. In these moments, if we're being honest, you do not feel comfortable. Enemies abound, or at least it appears that way. And cries and prayers seem to fall upon deaf ears. But throughout the years, I have learned that God had brought me into the wilderness. Time and time again, He's brought me into the wilderness to teach me that only God can satisfy my deepest longings. What should you do when you feel like you're wandering in the wilderness? Psalm 23 can comfort the wandering soul. To those who feel the pressures of life, Psalm 23 is a gentle reminder of God's faithfulness. So let this psalm sing to your soul if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, verse 4. Now, as you can see, the dominant imagery in this psalm is of a sheep and its shepherd. Some Bible scholars think that in the beginning of verse 5, the imagery shifts from a shepherd and sheep to how friends relate to one another. I tend to believe the entire psalm is about the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep or his flock. Regardless of how you read verses 5 and 6, I think nothing is lost. We can see how a good shepherd is also a good friend. I do think to understand this sheep-shepherd dynamic, we have to understand the environment of a sheep and shepherd. If you were to travel to the Middle East and visit a shepherd, you would be surprised at the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. You might also be surprised at the hard work of a shepherd when tending to his flock. It's a lot of work. Shepherding is dirty and tiresome. And caring for sheep is always challenging throughout the changing weather. The survival of sheep in the wilderness depends entirely on the shepherd's provision and guidance. The environment is dry, the temperature is temperamental, and there is a lack of water. When I was in, Therese and I and the family were in Minnesota, we had one really nasty winter where the actual temperature dropped to negative 20, and that was like without the windshield. And we had a bunch of chickens. And so what did Therese ask me to do? She's like, can you get all the chickens and bring them into the garage? Now, I got a lot of thoughts that were like flowing through at that moment. Like, are we really putting chickens in our garage? And what's going to happen after we move the chickens back out of the garage? But what were we trying to do? Trying to protect the flock, right? They're going to die otherwise. You do everything you can to keep them safe. Well, Israel's environment is dry with little water. It is still desert-like, especially as you get away from the rivers and the Jordan. These environmental challenges are more pointed when you realize that the shepherd must feed his sheep constantly. I read this from a shepherd from a different part of the world, but it still applies to all sheep. This Welsh shepherd once said that she is amazed at the variety of ways that sheep can die. They're just like looking for death. In addition to the environmental weather and the sheep's stupidity, there's another enemy in the wilderness. There's wolves. And one time I was talking about this particular psalm with Rob Danielson, and he did some research on this. He said, also snakes are a danger to watch out for the sheep. While the shepherds watched their flock, so did the wolves. A shepherd and his sheep worry about dehydration during the day and about the wolves at night. During the time of Christ, shepherding was not a profession in which you send your kids to college. To be a shepherd assumed a low status in society. For the sheep, their shepherd is their world. The shepherd is the means of safety for the sheep and protection and provision. With the shepherd, the sheep have everything they need. Without the shepherd, there is difficulty. And to be a sheep without a shepherd is to be without leadership, to be without unity from the whole, to be helpless and to be facing trouble. To be a sheep without a shepherd does not ensure difficulties will not arise, because difficulties do arise in life, but it does ensure that the shepherd will be there when the problems do arise. To be a sheep without a shepherd means access. To be a sheep with a shepherd, means to have access to the one who can help in times of need. And times of need certainly do come up. Everything I've said up to this point is part of the background for understanding, I think, the depths of Psalm 23. Psalm 23, as many of you know, cannot be a more personal psalm for the Christian. A sheep, a part of God's flock, especially going through a hard life or a hard moment in life. Psalm 23 is for the Christian who keeps getting socked in the gut by the trials of life. However, Psalm 23 reminds you that you are not alone, no matter what life throws at you. Sometimes it feels like you are alone, but here's the reality, here's the truth. You are not alone. There is still hope, even as you seemingly wander in the wilderness, searching for water and begging for food. So in light of what I've said up to this point, I think there's three headers we can use to help us understand Psalm 23. The first header is, what does this psalm tell us about the presence of God? Christian, God is with you. We need to remember that. We also see the ongoing protection of God in this psalm. God is at work in your life, which is especially important to remember when life is like messy or hard. Finally, we see the never-ending provision of God in this psalm. So by the time I'm done, I hope you see from God's word that he not only has given you everything you need, but he actually gives you exceedingly more. Let's start talking about the presence of God. We read in Psalm 23 that God is present in your life as a good shepherd. Everyone knows the first part of the verse 1, right? The Lord is my shepherd. Notice how these first words, three words actually in the Hebrew, they're actually a declaration for your soul. Without flinching or hesitation, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Just allow that truth to soothe your soul. You do not see it in the English, but in the Hebrew, the word, we've seen this as we've gone through some Psalms, the word Lord is translated from Yahweh. And I find this interesting because in Jewish tradition, Yahweh is too sacred to utter aloud. Over time, Jews started substituting Yahweh with the word Adonai when speaking orally about God. And here Yahweh is used in this psalm, which is meant to be a sung declaration. I wonder how they would have sung that, but I digress. What does it mean to declare God, Yahweh, as your shepherd, this covenant God? There are countless tangible metaphors in the Bible that talk about God. We say that God is our rock. We say that Jesus is the bread of life and the light of the world. God is described as a mighty warrior. Last week we looked and saw that we said that Jesus is king. These expressions and others help convey theological terms that further describe God, right? Like we say, God is omnipotent, God is powerful, and he will fight for us. God is also the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God not only created time, but he transcends time, which is why we say God is eternal. There's more we could say about who God is, but God as a shepherd is unique. The picture of a shepherd is very different from saying that God is a rock, which is really important when we say that, or God is a king, which is also important. As a father, there are moments when my kids experience me as their protector and provider, right? If you're a parent, you know that. There are times when they need a hug or a shoulder to cry on. This kind of dynamic, this kind of a relationship is the same with God, especially as we think about what it means for God to be a shepherd. Here's why I love God being described as a shepherd in our Bible. There's no more intimate expression of God in the Bible than to say he is your shepherd. The only other term I could think about is the word father. Right? Those two terms just describe the intimacy that God has with his sons and daughters, that a shepherd has with his sheep. Let me explain why this matters. If you say God is your shepherd, you also imply that you are God's sheep. The shepherd is the one who watches over the flock. He is constantly with the flock. First century shepherds did not take vacation, right? They did not take the weekends off. They were constantly with the sheep that were entrusted to him. I've made this statement regarding pastoral leadership because that metaphor applies between a pastor and a congregation, but it applies immensely more to God. And I love this. The relationship between a shepherd and his sheep is so close that the smell of the sheep is on the shepherd and the smell of the shepherd is on the sheep. One of my favorite little quips or sayings. Dr. Timothy Laniak wrote a devotional called While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks. His book has had a profound influence on how I view pastoral ministry, but how I understand this metaphor that's been given to us. Laniak's devotional provides 40 days of reading and reflection. On day 14, he recounts an interview with a sheep named Abu Munir. He is a modern-day shepherd and a shepherd of a flock of about 2,000 sheep. Laniak asked Abu Munir how much contact he has with his flock of 2,000. Does he let them roam the field like I just let my dog out and he just go roam around, right? Does he do that? Can he be relatively hands-off while the sheep take care of themselves? Here's what Abu Munir said. I am with the sheep every day. In the summertime, I sleep outside with them too. If I weren't with them every day, I should not be their shepherd. I shouldn't be their shepherd. So if I'm not with them, I shouldn't be their shepherd. It's a very revealing statement. And I think we should ponder what this means for you, Christian. God is with you every moment of every day. He's at the wedding celebrating with you. And he's at the funeral home holding the tissue box. I know that I don't necessarily need to tell you this because I've said it already, and you know that life is hard. Life is full of disappointments. It's full of unpleasant and unwanted surprises. I think I told some of you this morning that, you know, I was sick and my wife was sick as well. She was planning on coming to church and she coughed and threw out her back. Like, unpleasant, unwanted. A sickness can radically alter a life in a family. The death of a loved one can bring you to the point of despair. Perhaps your job situation does not go the way you'd hoped. A family member, a close friend walks away from God. A perpetual sin is like a boulder lying on your back. The anxiety flares up. And so on. Life is hard. But by the grace of God, you navigate the wilderness of life. And in these moments, you must remind yourself that God is with you. God is present. God is your shepherd. When you declare that God is your shepherd, what does he do? Take a look at verse 2 and 3 with me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Here's this good news in verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Your heavenly Father, your heavenly shepherd cares for you so much. He will not abandon you. He's actually leading you into the places that you need to go. The scene painted for us in verses 2 and 3 is one of abundant life. The shepherd causes the sheep to lie down. He makes them approach the quiet waters. As sheep, we need to receive the summon by God to be by the still waters instead of racing toward the turbulent waters of this world, which sometimes we tend to do. A while back, I was, I think it was in Perry, Iowa. I was walking by, or walking on the Raccoon River Trail while Chloe rode her bike. And while I was walking, I was just kind of pondering Psalm 23 at the time. And there was a point on the trail when we approached a stream. And because of what I read in Psalm 23, I just forced myself to pause, stop thinking, and just listen. I enjoyed the peaceful moment provided by listening to the water just rush down a little bit. And the peace that provided. So, again, allow the imagery to work. And what God is trying to tell you this morning from Psalm 23, he leads you beside those still waters. Even in your wandering, there are moments when God reminds you that he is with you. The faithful shepherd also leads the sheep down the right path. It says a path of righteousness. If you're anything like me, too often you try to go down your own path. I think to myself, I got it figured out. This is the way to go. If you've been a Christian longer than a cup of coffee, you know what ends up happening when you pick your path. But there is peace and safety when you follow the way of your shepherd. When you go down the righteous path. So what do we see here in verses 2 and 3? Lying down in green pastures, the moments of still waters, the righteous path that God leads us down. All this is possible when you're in the presence of a faithful shepherd. So are you wandering this morning? Is your heart troubled? Jesus, your chief shepherd, is with you. You can declare with confidence and conviction from Psalm 95, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. In the Bible, being a sheep in the wilderness is a place where God's people can learn to be dependent upon God. Right? That's where we can learn to be dependent and trust God in that place. In the wilderness, God's people can learn discipline Deserts bring people quickly to an end of their self-sufficiency and independence. Right? Wandering in the desert is not in vain because God is with you. He's oftentimes, if not all the time, teaching you. So let's go with that second heading now. The protection of God. God is your shepherd. Right? He provides, but he also protects. And if he protects you, then you have nothing to fear. Take a look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This verse does not say that you will not walk through the valley, a desert valley, but it assumes that you will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It is in this verse that the role of the shepherd becomes more clear. In the hands of the shepherd are two objects. This is one of my favorite pictures about the shepherd. You got these two objects. And I think a few weeks ago, we were in a different psalm where this imagery came alive again. The rod and the staff are in the hands of the shepherd. If you ever seen a picture of a Middle Eastern shepherd, they often walk with the herd with that long staff in hand. The staff is long with a curl or a hook shape on the end. There are several practical reasons for the staff. Of course, the staff can aid in walking, but more significantly, the staff helps keep the sheep together. The staff is a tool to keep the sheep close to the shepherd. The staff also symbolizes the shepherd's love for his sheep. With the shepherd's outstretched arm, with staff in hand, he can gently bring back a sheep that begins to wander away from the fold. Here's the subtle admission from King David. He knows he is prone to wander. And he needs the staff of the shepherd to keep him near. Pastor Rob was going to sing this song this morning because I'd asked him to put it in the set list, but one of my favorite songs to sing is Come Thou Fount. Here's one line from the song that I know to be true about me. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We need and we have a faithful shepherd who loves us more than we love him, and we experience his love as he keeps us in the sheepfold. Listen to how Jesus posed a question in the Gospel of Matthew. It's in Matthew 18. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that he would see one of these little ones should perish. With staff in hand, the shepherd pursues the one wandering sheep because he knows what's best for that one sheep. The shepherd knows how to protect his sheep the best. So he's got the staff in his hand. On the other hand, more likely in the back, hugged between his back and the belt, is a rod. The rod is shorter, dense, and wooden, kind of acts like a club. I suppose it's equivalent to grabbing a baseball bat. When I picture the shepherd in my head, I see the staff, but as I said, you do not necessarily see the rod. However, even though I might not see the rod, it's there. The shepherd has it on him at all times. One of the difficulties of shepherding is the constant movement of the sheepfold. In an attempt to find areas for sheep to graze, the sheep are constantly moving from one place to another. A shepherd may travel weeks away from home to find provision for the sheep, but traveling also means danger, in particular, threat, as I said earlier, because of wolves. The rod is used to beat back wolves who want to eat the sheep. The shepherd puts his life on the line to protect the sheep from the wolves. He will beat back a wolf as long as he needs to ensure the safety of the sheep. Let's go back to Laniac and how he describes the dependence the sheep have on the shepherd. One of the ironies of shepherding in the wilderness is that while flock animals are physiologically suited for arid wastelands, they are completely defenseless in these remote regions. Sheep don't have sharp teeth or claws. Their eyesight is limited to between 10 and 15 yards. Oh my goodness, could you imagine? The animal's only natural defense is their instincts to huddle or flock together. Isolation spells ruin. The only reliable source of security comes from the shepherd's presence. A flock cannot be left alone. If the shepherd ensures that you stay with a sheepfold and he protects you from the wolves, what do you have to fear? That's the question kind of posed in Psalm 23. What is there to fear? You certainly should have a holy and reverential fear of the one protecting you. But there's nothing else to fear in this life. Verse 4. The Lord is your shepherd, so do not fear. He protects you with the rod. I want to provide one more thought about the protection of God in this sheep shepherd picture. The protection of God does not ensure a trouble-free life. Quite the contrary. This psalm has been written precisely because life is full of trouble. The question is, when life's troubles come upon you, where do you turn? Who do you trust? Well, the good news is you can trust your good shepherd. Your good shepherd walks with you through the valley. He is present and protects you through all of life's troubles. Let's now look at the provision of God in Psalm 23. Here's the question about provision for us. If the Good Shepherd already provides everything we need, why do we desire so much more? Here's the second part of verse 1, and then I'll read verse 5. If the Lord is your shepherd, then I shall not want. And the Christian Standard Bible translates, I have all that I need. And then we read in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. The presence of the Lord provides protection and provision. The psalmist does not mean that Yahweh, God, shepherds us by giving us everything we desire. Rather, those who trust in God as sheep will never lack everything they need from their shepherd. I mean, it's just had Christmas, right? Our Christmas lists are lists, or our, what's under the Christmas tree are like a list of desires, right? I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. I mean, you know what I want? I was thinking to myself, what would I really want? Top of the line, 2025, 3500 Dodge with a coming engine. Dodge truck or something, you know? That's what I want. But do I really need that? I mean, can I argue my way to the point where I can be like, yeah, I need that? No, of course not. No. It's not necessarily a wrong desire, but do I need it? I am called to be content with what God has already provided. Do you not see the tension in your heart with what this psalm says? I know I do. I mean, think of it this way. From the beginning to the end, this psalm is about trust. Do you trust that God is present while you're walking through the valley? Do you trust God to protect you from the wolves? Do you trust God will provide for you? God gives you everything you need, and you must embrace all God provides. Psalm 23 does not suggest that you do not need to work hard or you should not have like a godly ambition. A person who trusts that God will provide uses the giftings and opportunities and then is willing to be content with what God has provided. And there's another approach to this passage that we need to be cautious about. I've heard this passage twisted and used as a justification for like the name it, claim it thing, right? Some people have used the provision motif in this psalm to say that God will give every desire of your heart. This is scary for me because my sinful heart can desire many things that are clearly not of the will of God. No, this passage, I don't want to criticize any of you, but I'll just say about myself. This passage is about a dumb, partially blind needy sheep who comes to the shepherd, trying to trust that he will provide all that is needed. No more, no less. Makes me think of what Paul says about being content with whatever you have. The end of this psalm assumes that everything I have said and offers massive assurance for sheep. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And man, these are sweet words. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we saw the last few weeks, the word mercy can also be translated as steadfast love. It indicates a covenant relationship between God, the chief shepherd, and his sheep. God's covenant relationship with his people is secure and filled with promises. Listen to how Jesus, our chief shepherd, describes his relationship with his sheep in the Gospel of John. Here's John 10. I am the good shepherd. I mean, surely Jesus is reflecting upon Psalm 23 here. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And then I bump ahead to verse 27 of John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one, listen to that, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. That is such good news for the sheep who are under the care of the chief shepherd. When you are in a covenant relationship with God, the chief shepherd not only provides and protects, the chief shepherd has sacrificed his life so that you can live. Many of you know this from Isaiah 53. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before her shears, he did not open his mouth. Our shepherd is also the lamb who went to the cross to die so that we might live. He died, rose from the dead, is now living and seated at the Father's right hand. Why? So that his sheep will remain in the sheepfold. So that his sheep will receive the love and care purchased through his atoning death. And one final thought before closing in prayer. While we faithfully toil in this broken world, we look forward to the day when the chief shepherd will physically return. I firmly believe there will be a day when the Lord Jesus will return to provide the ultimate remedy for this broken world. I believe Revelation 21:4 will be fulfilled someday. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. But until that day, we do need to contend with the tears. We need to contend with the physical death, which we will experience unless the Lord comes back. We need to contend with the mourning. We need to contend with the pain. Until the Lord returns to redeem and restore everything, Christian, you are called to navigate trials with faith and to trust in your chief shepherd. Let's pray.